Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRibe English Radio Call of Islam page. This is The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shia scholars and ulama all across the world of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi and Sheikh Ziyaniya. Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Ziyaniya, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about an alim of the 14th century Hijra, Ali ibn Zain al-Abidin Parchin Yazdi Ha'iri, the author of the magnum opus, Ilzam al-Nasr fi Isbat al-Hujjat al-Qa'ib, a book in the field of Kalam and in Arabic language about the life account of Imam As. We can say Imam al-Mahdi, we can say he brings different narrations, ahadith, and rational logics and reasonings for the presence of Imam As. We talk about this book. Before that, let's be a little bit concerned about his life, Ali ibn Zain al-Abidin Parchini. Sheikh Ziyaniya, let's start with you, brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Late Marhum Ali ibn Zain al-Abidin Yazdi al-Ha'iri was born in the city of Ardakan, village close to this city in Iran. And Ardakan is a city at the middle of the country of Iran. And he started his early studies and primary studies in his village in Barjin, and then moved to Karbala to continue Islamic studies there. And because he resided in Karbala up to the end of his life, that's why he is known as Al-Ha'iri.
Yes.
Because Karbala is Ha'ir al-Husayn. Ha'ir means surrounding place. And because the city is surrounding the shrine of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, so they call the city of Karbala Ha'ir al-Husayn. And the people who reside in Karbala, some of scholars,
yes,
they are known by the title of Al-Ha'iri. And he has received the permission of hadith and the permission of riwayah from a number of scholars like Zain al-Abidin Mazandarani Ha'iri, like Mirza Muhammad Hussain Hussaini Marashi, Mirza Hussain Nuri, and Sheikh al-Sharia Isfahani. And he had a number of students like the Sayyid Shamsuddin Mahmud Hussaini Marashi Najafi, the father of Grand Ayatollah Marashi Najafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, who established a great library in Qom. And his library up to now, up to today, is active and is the source of benefits for Shia school of thought.
That's right.
And this scholar, Ayatollah Ali Ha'iri Yazdi Rahmatullah Alayhi, has authored a number of books, like Tabsaratul Mutahajjidin fi Adab Salatul Layl, that is discussing about ethics and Salatul Layl. As-Sa'adatul Abadiyah fil Akhbar al-Adadiyah, Ruhus Sa'adah, Manzumatun fil Fiqh. And one of the books that is very famous and is very important is Ilzamun Nasib fi Ahwal al-Imam al-Ghaib.
Right.
This book is talking about the Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif.
That's right.
And different aspects of his life.
Okay, Sheikh Mahdavi, Ali ibn Zain al-Abidin Yazdi Ha'iri is known with his book Ilzamun Nasib fi Isbat al-Hujjat al-Ghaib about Imam As Jalallah. What is this book and what was his main motivation for compiling such a book?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As the title of the book appears, we can take the title of the book very in the same line with the content, meaning that to convince those who are negating the presence of the Imam al-Ghaib. So whatever you will see or you will read in this book is related to this concept for those who are at the position of negating Yes. The presence of this absent Imam, I mean absent from our sights, not absent from being existing. Mm-hmm. So in these two volumes, we will see how the author is trying to employ both logical proofs and also narrative proofs. And he does not include only Shia narratives and sayings of the Imams. One of the things that he says in the introduction of book is this, that I am trying to employ and take benefit of the ahadith which are narrated by the Sunni narrators and not the weak ones, and not only the ahadith which are only singular. Mm-hmm. We have a concept of mutawatir, yes, meaning that one concept or one narration has been narrated by different chains, which gives more authenticity to the content. Because once you only hear something from one person, but when you hear that the same something from different chains, mm-hmm, from different persons, people, it gives you more authenticity. That's how right. Is that possible?
Okay.
Over the time, all these narrators who didn't have access to each other have narrated the same things. So we have this concept being known as mutawatir. And this, yes, is one of his claims that he is saying, that I am trying to prove this right. I mean, both based on the logic and based on the narrations and narratives of the Imams. And when we open the book, we see that how he has compiled the book into 10 chapters, okay, and has called each chapter ghusn, or branch.
Branch, that's right.
Yes, as okay. if all of these 10 branches, yes, are related to one tree. That is the, you may say the... Shia denomination or Shia scholar.
This is interesting, because he did not compile this book only based on the beliefs. I mean, for example, out of emotion or historical beliefs or something like that. The rational cases and the Quranic, we can say, evidences are also over there. And this makes it, I think, more authentic and acceptable for, yes, the people who want to become more familiar with Imam Asr, okay?
Yeah, definitely. Those who are curious to know, yes, about Imam al-Asr, specifically his long life, mm-hmm, as we believe so, that he, after his birth up until now, he is alive and he is living, mm-hmm, for above 1,000 years. I think this book would be a good option for them to take it and read it. How nicely he has organized the chapters of the book, starting from the starting from establishing the ground for the presence of the Imam, mm-hmm, in all times and all
ages.
Yes. So he starting from the chapter that we cannot have the earth being empty from the Imam, okay, which is Hujjatullah, or the proof
of Allah.
Yes,
on earth.
Of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Then he gets into the chapter that he tries to quote the Quranic verses, mm-hmm, which are proving the existence of the Imam, mm-hmm, not referring to the specific name which
of
is
Imam al-Asr.
Mahdi, yes, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, but that there must be someone who will save humanity. So all those verses have been included in this chapter. Then he goes to the riwayat and sayings of the Prophet and the Imams from both books and sources, Shia sources and Sunni sources,
okay,
all of which are included in the chapter number 3, and the plausibility of occultation and ghaibah. Mm-hmm.
This he is, talks this
about
is
it. Yes. Yes, he talks about it.
Okay.
And the book is a very profound book. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you see almost 800 pages of the contents, mm-hmm, have been organized in all these chapters. So for those who may easily accept something from someone who is saying that how is that possible for someone to last for something around 1,000 years, okay, at least take a look into this book.
Okay.
Read whatever one of your scholar, mm-hmm, has said in his book, and then you are free, mm-hmm, to decide what would be the conclusion after reading this book.
That's all right.
And then we see in the chapter number 5, we have the narrations from the being quoted from the mother of the Imam al-Mahdi, his birth, those who paid visit at the time of his birth and while he was growing up, because we believe that when he was 5 years old, he went into the occultation.
The major,
His ambassadors or nawab.
Yes.
Yes, and then we have...
Alaim al-Zuhur, what are the signs
up
of
until
the
last,
reappearance?
Yes,
okay.
Up until the last chapter, okay. which is talking about the concept of Raj'ah.
I think the most, ambiguous part of the Shiite history might be this one, but all the questions are tackled here. You know what I mean? From, we can say, the Hujja, the long life of the Imam. So many people have so many doubts and questions regarding the possibility and plausibility of a person living long, or, for example, how a kid could be an Imam, you know? And also the signs at the time of the reappearance of the Imam. And this is outstanding, I think. Okay, Sheikh Zainia. Anything missed about the main title of this book, or we can say the main content of this book?
Something that we should take it in consideration is that the name of the book is Ilzamun Nasib fi Ithbat Hujjat al-Ghaib. And fi Ithbat al-Hujjat al-Ghaib. So maybe our audience would ask why this title should be chosen for this book. The author himself answers to this question, and he says in the introduction of the book that because this book is سيفاً لفتوحات عوالم الغيبة وحصاماً لقطع حبائل الناصب عن الشيعة, because this book is a sword that, you know, cuts the wrong ideas about the unseen world and, you know, opens this realm to us, and also cuts the ropes and ties on our feet, not to allow us to defend our beliefs. So I called this book Ilzamun Nasib because it's لمتضمن من خرق ما نسجته العامة من النقد والإبرام في وجوده وتصرفاته. Because some scholars or some unbelievers to the school of thought of Shia, they say that Imam Zaman Ajalala Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif is not able to do anything in this world. He does not have any power. He is not even alive. So that's why I try to bring some argumentations, some reasoning to prove that these rejectors are not in the correct position, but they are wrong. And I want to void and rebuttal their understanding about Imam Zaman Jalala Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, and to prove that he is present among us, he is living with us, and he is Imam at the of the time.
That's right. At least I think his book is really a nice research method. I mean, a research field for those who are interested in the field of Mahdism. Okay, Mahdism, which is really an interesting field of study nowadays. So many scholars and researchers all across the world are talking about Mahdism or Mahdaviyat, you know. And this book can help them very much to answer their questions. Al-Zamun Nasib fi Ispat al-Hujjat al-Qa'ib. May Allah bless the soul of Ali ibn Zain al-Abidin Yazdi Khairi, the author of this book. In the year 1333, according to the lunar Hijriah calendar, he passed away in the holy city of Karbala, and his body was taken to the holy shrine of Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas, and he was buried in the city of Karbala. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man. And thank you much, Sheikh Ziyani and Sheikh Mahtabi.
You're most welcome.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
A teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of him? Mu'allim.